Today's gospel is a very popular gospel, and for a lot of people, it's probably one of their favorite passages. In part, probably because a lot of us feel like Martha. You know, a lot of times we feel stressed out and overworked and like we're burdened with many things. We just have so many responsibilities to take care of, it often feels like we're underwater. And I think it's a good passage for priests right now with the beacons of light. You know, a lot of us have gotten extra parishes that we have to manage, and you know, it's hard to, amidst all the details that have to be taken care of, to keep our focus on what's most important. And I think it's also, Americans tend to be very hardworking, which is a virtue. You know, diligence is a virtue. But sometimes that can be taken to a fault. You know, if we have so many things going on and so many responsibilities that we miss out on what's most important. And so in today's gospel, you know, our Lord gives us permission to let go of our anxiety and to let go of some of the stress that accompanies all the tasks we have to do, and to make sure that we are taking time to seek the better part. The Mary in today's gospel is traditionally believed in the Catholic Church to be Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was the sister of Martha, and their brother was Lazarus. So the three of those are siblings. And to emphasize that, Pope Francis recently instituted a feast day of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, you know, emphasizing that the three of them are siblings. But as we look at Mary in the gospel today, it says that she sat at the feet of Jesus. And that doesn't mean that she wasn't doing anything. You know, she didn't just plop down there because she was exhausted and needed a break. That posture in Jewish culture was the posture of a student or a disciple sitting at the feet of their teacher. And so that's what Mary's doing in this passage. She's carefully listening to every word and internalizing what Jesus is saying to her. And we see this behavior not just here, but later in the gospel when Jesus goes to the cross on Calvary. Mary Magdalene is one of the few disciples that stays with him. And he remains at his feet as his disciple, listening to his words and focused on him. And then on the third day, the day of the resurrection, Mary was the one who went to the tomb and discovered that it was empty, because she's again seeking to return to the feet of Jesus. And so she gives us a phenomenal example of someone who was very, very faithful to our Lord. The best way for us to imitate the example of Mary in this gospel is through Eucharistic adoration. The Eucharist is Jesus' abiding presence with us. In that Mass, the bread and wine is transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't stop being his body and blood at the end of Mass. You know, the reason why we put the Eucharist, we repose it in the tabernacle, and the reason why we have a candle that burns 24/7 is a sign that Jesus Christ is still present there. And he's there not for his own sake. He's not there because he's bored and he needs something to do. And he's like, well, I guess I'll go down and go into this church. He's there for our sake. He's waiting in the tabernacle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for us to come and visit him. That's why he's there. He's there so that we can come to his feet and pray before him, like we see Mary doing in today's gospel. And so adoration is when we come and dedicate time and spend that time at the feet of Jesus. First of all, listening to what he might have to say to us. And second of all, loving him. You know, delighting in the time that we're able to spend with him. You know, just like many of us probably have family members, you know, maybe aging parents, that we go and we visit them every week or maybe every day because we enjoy spending time with them. So too, adoration should be a time where we simply enjoy spending time in the presence of Jesus. And so adoration is an exercise both of our mind and of our heart. Our mind, because we're listening to him, and our heart, because we are loving him. And any time that the church is open, we can come and spend that time in his presence. The Missionaries of Charity, who are the religious order founded by St. Mother Teresa, they go into some of the darkest places in the world. You know, some of the most impoverished areas. You know, they started in the slums of Calcutta in India, and they've spread out across the world, but they go into some terrible situations. And in many cases, they care for people who are dying, people who have just been abandoned and left to die on the side of the street. They take them in and they care for them and give them a place of love and of dignity in which to die. You have to imagine how difficult that work would be. You know, to day after day be dealing with that type of situation, and to be doing, in many cases, a thankless job, you know, ministering to the poorest of the poor. But the secret of the Missionaries of Charity is Eucharistic adoration. Every Missionary of Charity spends at least an hour a day in Eucharistic adoration. And that's where they learn to love and adore the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, so that when they go out to minister to the poor, they can see the face of Christ in the people they're ministering to. If it weren't for adoration, they wouldn't be able to do the incredible work that they do day in and day out. It's because of Eucharistic adoration that they're able to do that. And so what happens during Eucharistic adoration? You know, if we decide that we're going to spend some time praying in the presence of the Lord, what happens? Well, the first thing for us to realize is that God is not going to waste that time. You know, he is going to cherish and use every moment that we give him to our benefit. You know, he's not just going to sit there and be like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure why you're here. You know, he's the all-powerful God of the universe. He knows exactly what we need, and he is infinitely generous. He wants to pour out graces on us. So the first thing that's important is for us to recognize when we come into his presence that he's going to do good things for us. And so we need to make an act of trust in him. That's the most important thing. And the first thing that we should do when we come to adoration is approach him with trust and never doubt that he's going to use that time well. The second thing to realize is that our Lord pours out a river of grace. There is literally a river of his blood that flows out from the tabernacle, washing us when we're in Eucharistic adoration. And so what we should do is immerse ourselves in that river of grace that's flowing from the tabernacle. And so what does that mean, practically speaking? How do we immerse ourselves in that river? Well, first of all, bring all the joys that we have, everything that we're thankful for, bring that before our Lord and thank him for that, and allow him to share in the joy that we're experiencing. Open your heart to that. The sin that we've committed. Every one of us have areas that we probably wish we wouldn't want other people to know about. There's things that we do that are not good. Don't hide those from our Lord. Open yourself up. Open those areas of your life up and allow the blood of Christ to cleanse those areas. And he will purify us. If we feel overburdened, if we feel like there's too much going on and we're despairing, or whatever the case may be, bring those things to the Lord, and he's going to refresh us and strengthen us. Sometimes when we come to Eucharistic adoration, we will feel and recognize incredible things that the Lord is doing within us. That happens. Most of the time, our Lord works in secret. He doesn't reveal to us what he's doing within us for his own purposes. But nevertheless, what he does in Eucharistic adoration is transformative, it is lasting, and the effects are deep. We will not be the same people when we walk out from Eucharistic adoration as we were when we went in. I encourage us to imagine for a second that within our families, every mother and father in the church throughout the world would spend 1 hour a week in Eucharistic adoration. Think of the effect that that would have on our families. Think of how much that would deepen the relationship between husbands and wives, and how it would transform the way parents view their responsibilities. You know, what they want to give to their children, what they value as being the most important in their life. Imagine the change that would happen within our families. For people who are single, imagine the effect that that would have in finding companionship with the presence of Christ and recognizing more clearly what his calling is for each one of us. And for priests, you know, it's the responsibility of a priest to be the physical presence of Christ in the world. How can a priest be the presence of Christ in the world if he doesn't know who Christ is? It's in Eucharistic adoration that a priest learns who Christ is so that he can be a priest and bring Christ into the world. And a lot of young people find their vocations in Eucharistic adoration. Why would a young man or woman decide all of a sudden that they're going to give up their entire life and serve Jesus Christ in his church? Why would they do that? Well, more often than not, it's because they've spent time in Eucharistic adoration. And they've heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying to them in the depths of their soul to leave everything behind and follow him. And so I encourage each one of us not to be in a hurry to run out of church after Mass, or maybe even to spend some time during the week and block off some time to come to Eucharistic adoration, or come on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m., when we have Eucharistic adoration. And like Mary Magdalene, spend some time at the feet of Jesus. It will transform us on a deep and a lasting level, and we will never be the same.